What powerful video that was. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered all his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put a ring on his finger and the sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called out one of the servants and asked him, 'What is going on?' 'Your brother has come home,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you killed the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything that I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours, who was dead and is alive again, he was lost and is found.'"
Thank you. And we know the Lord always adds his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you that you run to us, that you are a God of grace, a God of compassion. Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts to you this morning to hear your word, to hear your message to our hearts through your Holy Spirit as you inspired it to us and as you revealed yourself. We thank you for the power of your word and for its strength in our life. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Aren't you thankful that our God is a God of mercy and grace? When last week we talked about how our God is a God who rejoices over those who are lost. And this chapter continues, this story continues as we're working through the parables together. We come to this story that has often been called the parable of the prodigal son, one that we know well and we've heard many, many times from Sunday school growing up in church. But it's often in the familiar stories that we miss the deeper truth of what God is trying to say to us because we think we know the story so well. But again, let's go back up to the beginning of this chapter to put all of this in context, what we've talked about last week, and moving on. Chapter 15 opened by saying that the tax collectors and the sinners were gathering around Jesus to hear him. He had previously said in the verse before that he who has ears to hear what I have to say. And the sinners, the tax collectors, were hearing the truth of God's word coming through Jesus, and they were gathering and they were believing that. And they were beginning to take to heart the message that Christ had come to tell, that he had come to bring salvation. You would have thought that that would have brought joy to the hearts of the religious crowd. Man, I would be happy if people heard the message of Christ and come to faith in Christ. Wouldn't you want to be happy? Wouldn't you rejoice over that? Well, the religious leaders and the Pharisees, as we had seen, complained and muttered and grumbled against Jesus and said that he is welcoming sinners. He's welcoming the outcasts. He's welcoming the lowlifes into his presence. He's even eating with them in their house. How dare he? And so to tell that story and to reinforce the truth that God's heart and compassion is for those who were lost, Jesus told three stories. Last week, we looked at the first two. We looked at the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And from those stories, remember, we discovered that all are lost until Christ finds them. And that was the situation of all of us. We all were lost and hopeless until the Lord found us and brought us back. And we learned that those who were lost are important to Jesus, that he left the 99 and went to find the one who was lost, that one sheep, and he initially sought it out. He initially seeks each one of us, and we are important to him personally. And we learned last week that God goes to great lengths to seek the lost, leaving heaven and coming to this earth and gone to the cross for us. And we learned as well that God rejoices when the lost are found. We learned that together through those two stories. This week, Jesus continued that theme, as it says, Jesus continued in verse 11, trying to drive the point home about his love and compassion for those who are lost. But this story is different. It's not a sheep that gets lost. It's not a coin that gets lost. It's one of the sons of the Father. And the Father has two sons in this story. And what makes this story different is the Son himself chooses that he's going to leave the Father's love and he's going to run away. He gets angry over maybe he didn't like the Father's rules. Maybe he got tired of working on the farm. Whatever it was, he decides and goes to his dad and said, "Dad, I'm tired of living here anymore. Give me my inheritance that I'm due." Showing the disrespect for the Father. He didn't even wait till the Father had died. But he said, "Give me what's mine now. Give it to me." And as the youngest son, he would have received a third of the estate, two-thirds of the estate would have went to his older brother. But the Father gave him. And you may wonder, what's Jesus teaching in this story? Why did the Father be permissive to the Son and give him that estate and let him go? Because what Jesus is teaching us is with people, it's different than with a coin or with a sheep. We have a will. And we can choose whether we're going to follow Christ and the Father's, accept the Father's love or not. And we can reject that. The younger son decided he was not going to live from the Father's love anymore. And he said, "Give me," and he went away. This story has three main characters. And in these three characters, Jesus is trying to make a point to show us a picture of us. And everybody in this room this morning falls on one of these three people and the three main characters of the story. When you got up this morning before you came to church, you got in the mirror. Maybe you looked in the mirror to see what you looked like and make sure, boy, before I come to church, I want to make sure everything's right. The Word of God is that mirror that God puts to hold up in front of us to show us our true self. And so this morning, as we look into the mirror of the Word of God, God's going to show you and me where we are before him as we look at the three main characters and what Jesus is trying to teach us and show us about ourselves and our true condition. So let's go into the Word of God this morning. First, we meet the prodigal son, the one everybody knows, the main character in this story, so we think. And the prodigal son shows us the consequences of sin and the path to restoration. As the prodigal son, the younger son decides he's not going to live with the father anymore. He goes to him and says, "Give me my share of estate." And that word prodigal has several meanings. And one means to spend money recklessly, freely, and wastefully. And when we think of this story and we think of the prodigal son, we think of that meaning. To waste our resources, to waste what we have on worthless living, on recklessly. And so that's what the younger son did. He took his inheritance that the father had given him, and he wasted it on wild living. The Bible says wild living. He thought he was going to have fun. He was free from the father's rules. He was free from the father's restrictions. He could do as he wanted and go his own way. But the first thing we learn from this part of looking at the son is that sin always takes us farther than we want to go. He thought it would be fun when he got away from the father's restrictions, where he didn't have to live on the farm anymore. He didn't have to do his farm chores. He could do whatever he wanted to do. And he thought, boy, I'm going to have a lot of fun. And maybe for a while he did. He spent it on that wild living. He spent it on having the, quote, time of his life. But then his money ran out. And while he had money, he had friends. But then when his money ran out, so did his friends, because they weren't really true friends. They were just using him and were there for what he was doing for them. But he ended up getting so hungry, he ends up, and Jesus illustrates the point here, of getting a job to survive because his money ran out. And what did he have to do? He was a farmer, so he knew he could take care of animals. So he hires himself to a farmer, but it wasn't just a particular kind of farmer. Jesus said he went and hired himself to what? A pig farmer. What was Jesus trying to tell us in the story? What did Jews think of pigs? Pigs were considered unclean. They weren't even allowed to touch them. They were defiled. Jesus is showing us in this story where sin takes us. And Satan promises us, oh, it's going to be fun if we cast off the Father's restraint. If we live as we want. It's a fun life ahead of us. No. Sin leads us down a desperate path of captivity. And leads us to the pigsty. And that's where it goes. The Bible says that the pleasures of sin are for a season. But then after that comes heartache. It always takes us farther than we want. These commercials they show you on TV about these guys fishing, and they're in a fishing boat, and they're out there having this good time, and then they have this beer, and they say, oh, it doesn't get any better than this. They never show you the lives that are broken because of it, and the path of destruction that goes down that way. Sin always leaves us farther than we want to go. Second thing is, we look at the sun, is sometimes we have to hit rock bottom before we can look up. The sun led him, his sin led him to that point of the pigsty, and not only did he get a job feeding the pigs, which was bad enough for a Jewish boy, but Jesus drives it even farther and said he got so hungry that in order to survive, he had to eat the slop he was feeding the pigs. That's the bottom as far as you can go for a Jewish boy. And that's the point Jesus was making. And sometimes people in their rebellion against God have to get to that point where they are so low that they can begin to look up and see, hey, the Father's love is there for me. And that's where he was. Sometimes we have to get rock bottom. And maybe you've known someone in your life, or you have a son or a wayward member of your family or loved one that you've been praying for that wandered away from the Lord. And we hope that they don't ever have to get that far, but sometimes the Lord has to allow them to get to that point. Till they'll finally acknowledge there's a better way. There's a Savior, God's love, and the Father. And restoration begins when we truly repent. Notice what Jesus said when he was in the pigsty. We was living there in verses 17 to 20. He came and he came to his senses and said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will go out and go back to my father and say to him, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So he got up and he went to his father. This shows us the path to restoration. The restoration restores when we truly repent. And maybe in our heart of rebellion, there's been a time we said, God, I want my own way. And the Lord, our Father, will, because of our free will, allow us to go our own way. Will allow us to usurp our will, but it will lead us to a place we don't want to go. It leads us to estrangement from the Father. Our fellowship and our intimacy with him was not as close as it once was. And when we wander away from the Father in rebellion, it's going to affect our relationship and intimacy with God. And it's going to take us to a place we don't want to go. But to be restored, it begins to realize on our part of a change of heart. That he came to the port and he came to his senses. And he came to realize, what am I doing here? He said, the slaves of my father at the farm are living far better than me. They have everything provided for them. They're not in need. They're not hungry. What am I doing here? This did not turn out for me the way I thought it would. And he began to come to his senses. And when we come to that point in our life, when we realize, boy, look where my sin led me. Look where my rebellious pride took me. It can make a difference and a change of heart. And so he come to his senses and he acknowledged his sin and he said, I have sinned against the Father and I will go back and I will tell him that and ask him to receive me, that which brought to a change of behavior. Because see, that's what repentance is. Repentance is a change of direction. It begins with a change of mind when we begin and realize I've made the wrong choice. I'm going the wrong way. I've run away from the Father. And a change of heart, it starts there, which leads to a change of behavior. And he got up and he returned home. If he would have said, boy, I made the wrong choice. What am I doing here? And didn't do anything about it. And then have a change of behavior, he wouldn't have truly repented. And see, the Lord, repentance is both, not only the change of heart, but the change of lifestyle. That he calls us to live a new way. If we were going this way, we're going to the way of the Father. And that's the path back to restoration. So through the Son, we see the consequence of sin and the path to restoration. Let's look at the second main character, the prodigal father. The prodigal father shows us God's abundant mercy towards those who truly repent. And here's where we see another meaning of the word prodigal. We think of prodigal as wasteful, of spending recklessly, but prodigal also means having and giving something on a lavish or generous scale. And our God is prodigal to you and me. He is abundant in mercy and grace, slow to anger and abounding in love. Aren't you thankful? And he lavishes that love on us. The scripture says, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on his children. So the Father in this story is a picture of God's abundant love and mercy that he shows on those who repent. Because God comes running to us, as the video showed. It says here, when the son, he decided he was going to go home. But it says, as he was on his way, coming down the road, the father ran to him while he was still a long way off. The father saw him, filled with compassion, ran to him, threw his arms around him, and blessed him. The son had already come up with what he was going to say. Dad, I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. Make me a slave. Forgive me, but make me a slave. I'm not worthy to be a son. But the father saw him when he was still a long way off. And I can imagine, in the love of the Father, from the day his son left, his heart was broken. And when we choose to walk away from God, his heart is broken. And I imagine every day the Father got up in the morning, and he would look down the farm lane, and he'd say, maybe is this the day my son's going to come home? And day after day, he did that in his heart of love, hoping he would see some figure coming down the lane. One particular day, he got up, and in the distance, he saw this figure coming. Not the way he left, but all in rags. And he said, could this be my son? And he ran, he saw him and he ran to him. Didn't even wait for the son to come to him. He ran to him. And the scripture says, God, the father ran, picking the father here. This is the only time in scripture that the father runs. And that's when he runs to you and I to forgive us and restore us. Aren't you thankful for that? When we move, take that step home, he comes running to us. And he puts his arms around us, and he forgives us and welcomes us home. And the restoration is complete. The beautiful love of the Father here, that he comes running to us. He could have said, like maybe some dads, yeah, you mess your life up, you waste all my money, now you come home and you want me to forgive you, forget it. You made your bed, you lay in it. Yeah, that's how you are. You lay in it. If that's what you wanted, you chose that. He could have done that. But that's not what he did. And aren't you thankful that's not how God treats us in our sin? Then when we repent, he freely forgives us and wraps his arms around us and doesn't say, well, you made that choice, forget it, I'm not forgiving you this time. But he forgives us freely, running to us. He can't wait for us to come to him. And he restores us. It says that he put the robe. It says, quick, bring the robe. Not only the robe, but notice what the scripture says. What kind of robe was it? The worst robe? What was it? The best. He brought the best robe for him. And puts this, well, that was a symbol of the righteousness. That was a symbol of the fact that he was still a son. He once said, make me your servant, make me your slave. He said, no, you are my son. I'm restoring that to you. When we sin against the Father, it doesn't mean we're not saved anymore. We've broken our intimacy, but he still loves us as a son and receives us that way. So he showed that he were the sonship. He put the sandals on his feet and he put the ring of his own authority on his finger and restored him. And then did something else. It says, find the calf that has been fattened up for a special feast. And for the Father has been fattening up this certain calf for a long time. And he said, find the one that's the fattest and we are going to have a big party and a big celebration. And he restored him because he said, the son who was lost, his home again. And so he restores you and I, that when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and forgives us and receives us back. And his love is wrapped around us. And the scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, that is how far he has taken our transgressions and sins from us. He puts them into the deepest sea and he remembers them no more. And they are gone. Praise God for that. And he restores us and he rejoices over us. They said, let's have a celebration. Let's have a party. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he was found. He said, let's have a feast. Let's celebrate. We're going to get to the point now of what Jesus was trying to say in this main story here. The Father rejoices and celebrates when we come back to him. Doesn't cast us aside, but restores us back in love. Which brings us to the third character. Here's where we look to have to hold, sometimes hold up the mirror to ourselves, the older brother. And the older brother stands and shows us the ugliness of a self-righteous heart, what excludes itself from God's mercy. So the son and the father are reunited. They're having a party and they're having a celebration. Meanwhile, it says in verse 25, meanwhile, the older son is out in the field. Where he has been every day and where he had been faithful to the Father. He didn't run away. He was doing the Father's work and out in the field every single day. Meanwhile, he's out there in the midst of his work and he hears this big party and celebration coming from the farmhouse. And he said, what is going on? And he was thinking, maybe the Father is having a big banquet for me to reward me for all that I've done. How good I've been and how faithful I've been as a good, loving son and faithful son. He's having a big party and celebration for me. It's about time I get it. So he comes home and says, what's going on? And the servant said, oh, your dad is so happy that your younger brother has come home. He's had a big party and celebration for him. Isn't that great? And what does the brother do? And here's the whole crux of the point of what Jesus is trying to make. The older son hears and he gets mad and he refuses to go in and he refuses to go to the party. So the father comes out and the father begs him to go in. He says, no, I'm not going. And notice what he says in verse 30. He says, this son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes and comes home and you have a fatted calf for him. And notice Jesus's response. When the father says, this brother of yours was dead. Notice the play on words there. And Jesus' intent on what he's saying. Because the point is that legalism keeps us from experiencing joy. We can get caught up in keeping the rules. And notice what the son said in his attitude here of bitterness. He said, look, all these years I've been slaving for you, I've never disobeyed your orders, and you've never even given me a young goat I could celebrate with my friends. All these years, while he's out there living, doing what he wants, I stayed here and I worked at the farm and was faithful to you, and you never even gave me a young goat. And now he's getting, runs away and he gets this party. It's just not fair. Because see, he had a legalistic mindset. He was serving out of what he was expected to do. And sometimes if we come to the Lord in our relationship with him and serve him out of legalism and say, Lord, if I do this for you, you should do this for me. It takes all the joy out of our faith, doesn't it? That's not the kind of relationship we have with the Father. We should serve him because we love him, not because of some legalistic rule that if we do this, he does this for me. And it takes all the joy out of our life and our relationship with Christ, and it did for the younger son, the older son. Because legalism, it's not by that, it's by our faith and love for Christ that we follow him, not keeping a bunch of rules or regulations. We're saved by grace, and we live by grace, and grace is freeing. And bitterness keeps us from enjoying God's blessings. He says here, when this son of yours who has squandered money with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf, and you can get the bitterness, you can get the resentment. Here, he's wasted thing, and his son of yours, he didn't even call him his brother. And you can see the bitterness in his heart. And when we have bitterness in our heart, it can keep us against someone else or another believer, and it can keep us from experiencing and enjoying the blessings of God. And he was missing out on the party and celebration of the blessings because of his own bitterness. And when we allow bitterness to get in our heart, we're missing out on what God has for us and the blessings of being in a relationship with him. And unforgiveness keeps us from enjoying fellowship. He said, I'm not going in. And he refused because he was unwilling to forgive his younger brother for what he had done. And when we have unforgiveness in our heart towards someone else, it keeps us from experiencing the fellowship with them, our brothers and sisters in Christ, or against God. Because if we have unforgiveness in our heart towards someone else, it affects our relationship with him too. Because we're to forgive others as we have been forgiven by him freely. And it kept him from enjoying the fellowship with the Father and the Son because of the unforgiveness in his heart. So where do you find yourself in this story? You find yourself in the younger son who wants to have our own way and run away from the Father's love, and we realize where sin takes us, we come back. We have the Father who's willing to love and forgive us and show his mercy, or the older son, out of our bitterness and unforgiveness and legalism, we're not willing to accept God's grace. And pride keeps us from receiving grace. Jesus says the point here, my son, the father said, you have always been with me and everything I have is yours, but we are glad we had to be celebrating and glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Which brings us back to the main point. The older brother in this story, Jesus intently made to be understand that the Pharisees were the older brother. They were the ones who thought they were entitled to everything. They were the ones who thought they deserved special treatment because after all, they were the ones who kept all the rules. They were the self-righteous ones. They deserved the party. They deserved the celebration. They deserved the Father's relationship, not the sinners, not the older, younger brother who wasted everything. He did not deserve to be welcomed back home. And that was the point Jesus was trying to make in this story. When we have that attitude that we think we're better than those who are lost, that they don't deserve the grace and mercy of Christ, we see his heart so beautifully displayed here for those who were lost. And the compassion of the Father for those that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we shouldn't have that feeling of judgment or condemnation against them. We should have a heart of compassion and love for those who need Jesus. Because the Father is wanting them to come back home and to come into that relationship with him. It's a beautiful story. Where are you in this picture? The younger son, the father who shows that love and compassion, or the older brother who has that unforgiving bitterness in his heart and think we're entitled to that special relationship? He who has an ear to hear, Let him hear what the Lord says and respond in obedience. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word that shows us your truth. These stories you've been teaching us and these lessons we've been learning from you are so practical. And today we see again your heart for those who repent. And the lesson, Lord, that sin doesn't take us where we think it will. And you're not to listen to the lies of the enemy out there that makes us think, oh, sin is fun. Just cast off the restraints of the word of God and do as you please. And our nation is doing that. And there's so many in our culture that are receiving that lie, hook, line, and sinker. And Satan never shows the end result of where that choice makes. But Lord, it leads into the pigsty and it leads into that place, the lowest point of our, away from you. And Lord, but yet you provided a way through Christ that when we repent and come back to you and acknowledge our sin and confess, you forgive us and restore us. And we thank you for the love of the Father that is lavish and abounding in mercy and grace, and you bestow that freely upon all who repent. And when we come to our senses and we acknowledge our sin, you come running to us and put your arms around us and receive us back home, rejoicing over us. We thank you for that. And Lord, may we not be like the older brother who has bitterness, resentment in our heart towards those, Lord, who we think don't deserve your grace because of the choices they've made, because of the lifestyle they're living, and that we don't think they're worthy of you receiving, of showing your mercy to them. Lord, help us to learn the truth of your word, of what you're saying here, Lord, that you love all people. You have a heart of compassion for the lost sinners, for the lost, and we as well need to share that same heart as you, as your people. So Lord, help us to have the heart of God. Lord, show us ourselves in this story and where we are to respond to you, how we're to take it to heart and apply it to our life. And we thank you for your grace that is greater than our sin, that when we confess it to you, you restore and you receive us gladly. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.